Welcome to the Merch Lifestyle Podcast, where we're building freedom-based businesses in the print-on-demand industry. Broadcasting to you from around the world, here are your hosts, Spencer and Shannon.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Merch Lifestyle Podcast, episode number 10. Shannon, how are you doing today?
I am great, Spencer. I can't believe it. 1-0, the big 1-0. Like, where?
Double digits already.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Almost like there's more than 10 weeks in a year and we do one a week.
Yeah. Wow. This is really incredible. A big milestone for us. So very exciting.
That's funny. Well, we've got a cool topic today and we're going to get right into it. We've got a list of different tools that print-on-demand business owners can use. We use probably 25, 30 different tools without even really knowing it, but we decided to pull them all together and share them with you guys today. Cover everything from how we communicate with our teams, how we manage projects, how we keep designs organized. So it'll be a pretty quick, short and sweet episode, but one that's pretty jam-packed, I think.
Awesome. Let's get into it. So we start off with communication.
Yeah. How do you communicate with your team? What's the main way you're running the show?
So with my team, I use Skype a lot. Skype is good because it's, well, one, free, and it just allows you to have as many people, you can communicate with as many people as you want. So it's simple and easy to use and set up. So yeah, we use that. We also like Skype a lot because we can share our screen. So when someone's confused about something, I can do a one-on-one call with them and I can see their screen or they can see mine and I can explain things super easy. Something you can't do in the next one, that platform that we're about to talk about, which is Slack. Unless you pay for it, you can't share your screen. You can do video calls and you can see each other, but you have to have a paid upgrade in order to share your actual desktop. So that's pretty much the only reason why we still use Skype, because I don't know about you, but I love Slack way more than Skype.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if people are looking for a good video chat alternative, they might consider Google Hangouts, which is how we run the show and how we talk just throughout the day and how I connect with other people on my team. Google Hangouts has all the same features. It's free. You can share screens and desktops, and it's got a nice integration with Slack. So if you're worried about the paid tier, you can just add Google Hangouts into Slack and make it really easy to jump into one and jump out. So either Skype or Slack, or Google Hangouts are both awesome free video chat options for running your team. I think those are good.
Yeah, agreed. And with the Google Hangouts, You can still chat. You can really run almost everything right through it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's easy. And I really do like Slack for most of my team communication. I have three designers now and one backend VA. So I've found it's been pretty nice to load them up with their work, stay connected with them. You know, a lot of my team is based in the Philippines, so there's some strange hours that we have to adjust to, but I like being able to send a quick text and clarify something on my phone, because that's got a really nice app with Slack too. It's just a clean, free way to bring things together. I can see us growing into the paid version as we need it, but they give you a ton of message space and it's a really nice, simple platform, and you can set it up to do desktop notifications or what have you. So I'm a big fan. It's way better than email or texting or other options, I think.
Very cool. Do you have any issues or problems with Slack or Skype?
Good question. I really don't like Skype that much. I've found it can be a little bit buggy on Windows 10 for me. I can't seem to figure out how to get my mic set up consistent on there. It doesn't seem to have the best latency. I don't know if that's my issue or whether it's the client, but I've just found for video chat, I really like Google Hangouts. I'm trying to move away from Skype. I feel like they haven't really innovated or changed their platform in 5 years. So nice. I think other people are. But with Slack, I haven't really found an issue yet. It's been really clean. I think some people might use Discord as well, which is good, but I don't have as much experience with that for print on demand. Mostly just gaming and other kind of things.
Sure. Very cool. I also have had issues with Skype, actually. So with a message that I send from my phone via the Skype app, sometimes they won't get the message for whether it's hours or like a day, or I'll send another message on my computer after sending a message on my phone, and they won't get the phone message until I send the message on my computer. So it's like this weird syncing problem that I find that they sometimes have. So we're trying to, we're moving over to Slack and Google Hangouts for video stuff too. So
smart.
But then as far as, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you have a backup plan too, right?
Yeah. 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 Everyone on our team, we all have, make sure that everyone has some sort of backup communication method. So instead of, so in case their internet goes down or something's wrong with their computer, they have phones, so they, you know, can use, we use either WhatsApp or Viber to communicate still. And since like similar to you, we have a bunch of people in the Philippines. So those are free apps that they can just quick text me anytime. And, you know, those are very reliable methods of communication as well. So we really like that, and it's been working really good for us. So.
That's cool. I'm gonna set up a backup channel like that. I have had times where the internet connectivity is sparse or spotty, and it's hard to connect, especially on video. Sometimes we can't even do a video chat because it's just not
sure
for whatever reason. So I'm gonna pick that up. I think that's good.
Yeah, and if you have somebody, you know, that you need to get in touch with really quickly, because say there's a customer that needs something done, or they'd like a variation, they're ready to order, place an order via your Etsy store or whatever it is, you can quick text your person and, you know, your team member, and then they always have their phone on them just like us. So they can, you know, help you out and get whatever done very quickly. At least that's been my experience. So that's awesome. Been good. Very good.
Cool. So there's some other things that we can talk about too with sharing things with our team. One thing that I do is a lot of process documentation when I want to have my backend VA handle uploading to Etsy, for example, is something we got trained on this week, or configuring Shopify store. So anything I need to teach how to do. I mentioned that when, if your VA is not in the same time zone, it can be a scheduling conflict if you have to work around global time zones. So I found it's just easier to record your screen really easily. And I use free software that actually our friend Blake, who was on our podcast episode 2, told us about the other day. It's called Loom, useloom.com. And it's just a really clean, free Chrome extension that it's just a really easy to use interface, and the storage for the videos is free. So let's say I go through the process, upload something to Etsy, it takes my picture and puts it down in the bottom, and then it just records my screen. And then I can immediately share that link with my team, and that's basically their documentation. I might follow up with a Google Doc to walk through some of the steps or put in a login information. But other than that, Loom and Google Docs has been really nice.
That's awesome. We're going to do the same. In fact, this morning, I had one of my team members ask how to sync something between Shopify and eBay. And because their integration isn't the greatest, and to resync things, you have to go through a few steps. So after this interview, I have to record a thing for them, and I'll be using Loom to do that because it's just so easy to set up and get rock and rolling on. So
cool. Awesome. And then how about for project management? I'm a serial list maker. I've got two things to share. One, I use a notepad every day just on my desk to write down 5 things I need to get done to try to stay focused. But then for the medium and longer term goals and a weekly check-in board on what I'm trying to do, I like Trello quite a bit. It's simple. Think of a digital post-it board. Actually, I'll share my screen real quick and show people what it looks like for those on YouTube. What do you use, Shannon?
We use Asana, actually. I know that some people don't like it, but we have had a really good experience with it. It's just really simple and free and easy to set up. And we just throw in our list of tasks to be done. And then I have my team members in there, and they just check things off, and we can set dates, and you can assign, projects to certain people or tasks to certain people, mm-hmm. and even assign things to myself. Every day I go in there and I make sure, like, I start with my own inbox and what I have to do. And I just, that's how I start my day. It keeps everything organized. I mean, usually I used to have sticky notes everywhere, and now I have like one sticky note that I write things down, but then I transfer it to Asana, and then I keep everything right there. And it's nice because you can use your phone. You know, they have an app that works really nice with it too. So I like it, and it works really well for our team. Keeps everyone awesome. On the same page. So, but you use Trello.
Yeah, it's just what I started with. I honestly haven't checked out Asana. It looks really clean. Right now, I don't use Trello a ton. It just is kind of a digital notepad. So when I want to start growing, or if my team grows a bit more, or if their scope increases and I need something different, Asana sounds really cool. It looks super nice. So I think either one would be a good recommendation. And then do you have any other kind of like note-taking software for personal stuff, or do you use anything else?
I mean, personally, I use Google Keep sometimes, and this is something that's nice if I need to share it with, I don't know, like a recipe list. This is more of a personal thing. Or like if I'm going to the store and I have to pick something up and my girlfriend needs something, you know, as well, she'll just add it to the list and I can see it almost immediately. But I also keep track of things like researched ideas, or this is before I started creating Merch Along, but like I would keep track of all my research ideas and what they were, and but it was limited. So it works, but it's not that comprehensive, or it's not that featureful. It's just very simple.
Yeah. I do the same thing with when you find, I use Evernote, but same thing when you find inspiration. I had to run to Target last night to go get some bandages, right? So I go run over there and I see some shirts that I like. So I take a couple pictures and I see some gift cards that I like that had some really cool fonts, you know, just little inspiration. You can throw it in there. I think those are cool for just stickying things for later. Inspiration maybe.
Right. Yeah. If it's at your fingertips, you know, if it works, then it's good.
And they're free, which is cool.
It's free. Yeah, exactly. So
moving on to more of the creative work side of things. I think a lot of folks are probably familiar with Photoshop. I use that as part of the Adobe Creative Cloud. I think I pay $10 and some change every month to get access to Photoshop. And then I use Lightroom personally as part of that. Do you use Photoshop? Do you use Illustrator? I know some people use GIMP. Unfortunately, Microsoft Paint has been sunset, so I don't think that's
sad. Yeah, that's really too bad. We use mainly Illustrator. At least my developers use, or designers use Illustrator for the most part. So that's pretty much all they use. And then if we need simple things done, or if I need to do something simple for a website, then we'll use Canva. But other than that, we use Illustrator.
Nice. So I'm gonna screen share Canva real quick. I use that quite a bit for doing things on the podcast and on the show, and just little mock-ups for logos and things. Canva is really cool. It's free software. Let's pull it up here. And they allow you to do some really nice resizing. For example, if you're doing an Etsy storefront, I think they have a predetermined size for the Etsy storefront. So you can use some of their pre-created backgrounds and tips. And it's just little things to work on your branding, work on your conversion. And they have some decent little blog posts and things too. So Canva is a nice free resource as well.
Yeah, a lot of templates that you can just automatically load up and then replace with whatever you need for your own personal use. Yeah, Canva's simple and easy to use.
I think the thing that's cool about Canva is branding and thinking about that stuff for your store can be a real huge time suck if you let it. So Canva is really good for, hey, I just need something quick. I want to get it up there. I want it to look pretty nice, but I don't want to spend a ton of time on it, and then just move on.
Yep, exactly.
One place I like to go for premium designs and different bundles and themes and backgrounds and textures is Creative Market. You use them too, right?
Yeah, we use them for, I mean, they offer so many, there's, first of all, tons of ideas from some of the best creators out there. I mean, it's amazing the amount of the types of designs and things you can see and get ideas from on the site, things you can do yourself. But like, we use a lot of their free, you know, they always have you can see it on the screen right now, a bunch of the free fonts and different graphics that you can use in your own projects, which is really cool because you don't have to put in all the work, they've already done it for you. So, and then there's always lots of really good deals and quite amazing designs that they put out with everything from fonts to, what do you call it, little things that you can put on your shirts.
Yeah. Creative Market is awesome because if you're doing a mock-up for your store and you're not happy with the engine that, like, let's say you're using a third party, like the Printful, and you're not happy with the mock-up, well, go buy one on Creative Market. Or you want to do a spring flower themed shirt, but you don't want to have your designer or yourself hand design your vision. Well, chances are, you know, there's amazingly talented people, like you said. So go pay them what they're worth and then help support them for their work and make sure you're reading the license that you're buying it for, because they'll allow you to see whether it's for commercial or personal use. And so do right by them and pay the creators and they'll help you improve your product. It's good.
Yep, agreed. Yeah, make sure you look at the license. It's the very important part.
yeah, it's important. How about fonts? Where do you, I have my team go to a couple places for fonts. Google Fonts, I'm going to share a screen again here, is really nice for actually demoing text. So if you wanted to punch in merch lifestyle, and if I spell, you know, it'll show you what it's going to look like in different thicknesses, different widths, different font styles. It's really clean. And I believe most of the fonts in here are free for commercial use, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm almost positive they're all commercial use. But we should double check on that. So
maybe we'll do that afterwards and follow up. But yeah, regardless, it's a really nice place to find at least inspiration.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they're all commercial use. I've searched this a few times before, but
sure.
We use some of them for our designs, and then we do some designs with just handwritten fonts. But when we don't do handwritten fonts, we do a lot of we use Google Fonts for a lot of our designs because it's so easy to use and they're free and they're awesome and they look nice. Why not, you know?
Sure. One other resource that I use for fonts is dafont.com, D-A-F-O-N-T. They've got some, it doesn't look as clean as Google Fonts, but they do have a lot of reviews. You know that what you're downloading is trustworthy. You can see how many downloads there have been, and you can also see you can sort by the license for the font too. And they've got some pretty good search parameters. So if you wanted to search for a gamer style font, that's kind of like an 8-bit style, you'll definitely be able to find something by just typing in gaming font. So dafont.com is something I like to use as well.
Mm. Cool. Have you used 1001fonts.com?
I don't, well, it shows up in my auto search, so probably. Has that worked for you before?
Yeah, we've used some of them. You have to be careful. You have to really dig and look for the commercial free use ones. So that's sometimes an issue, but as long as you search for it and you find the ones that are commercial free to use, you're usually good to go. So, and they have some interesting ones, you know, if you're trying to change things up a little bit and try something different. It's something you can check out and probably find something that'll work for you. So, yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
I like it. So those are some good creative places. How about moving more into keywords and competitive research. So you've got, you know, you're finding your design, you're finding your keywords, you're figuring out what to type. How do you find those?
So I think, yeah, I think the best place to go is just Amazon.com and just to use their auto suggest toolbar. I mean, when you start to type in whatever you're looking for, it auto completes. It's telling you what people are literally searching for. So you should probably take notice of that and start there. It's a great place to start. Mm-hmm. You know, you can also use a place, or go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say same applies for if you're doing the autocomplete. Etsy is a marketplace that has a bunch of volume and the same kind of thing. So you could even just pop up an Amazon tab, pop up an Etsy tab. And I found that with Etsy, they have a lot of nice long tail keywords too. So between those two autocomplete bars, that you should be doing all right.
Very cool. That we definitely use that as well. We also use Google Keyword Planner. So if you have a Google AdWords account, you can go in there and you can see keywords. It's just a list of keywords that are relevant, that you're searching for something. It gives you relevant keywords related to that keyword. So that's a good one. That's free to use. But if you're subscribing to something like, we also use Merch Informer. So if you use Merch Informer, I mean, they're searching Amazon and using Amazon auto suggest, and now they just released another feature that includes how many searches are coming from Google. So it's kind of like a combination of different search engines, and like they kind of like combine all these different places together, which is convenient and you know, nice to have in one place.
It would be interesting to go on Keyword Planner to take a test keyword and do one in Keyword Planner and then one in Amazon and then one in Etsy and then one in Merch Informer and then just compare the different long tail ones that come up.
Yeah, it would be.
Maybe we should do that. Or
I mean, it should be the same because, you know, Neil from Merch Informer was just talking about how they just take the data from Google Keyword Planner.
Okay, that's the source. Got it.
That's what they said for the amount of times that keyword is being searched. So, you know, it should match up. I don't know why it wouldn't.
Okay, cool. So those are some good ones. I think to add to your Amazon competitive search arsenal, I'll recommend a plugin I have called a Chrome extension. Called Amazon Quick View, DS Amazon Quick View. And what this does is this pulls in the BSR under each listing. So it's been really useful for figuring out, you know, let's say you've got an idea for Cinco de Mayo and you want to do a shirt that says Cinco de Drinko or something. Well, you plug that in and then you'll be able to see, you know, from the top three that might have ads on it, how well those are doing, as well as the organic search. And I'm going to try to pull up Amazon and we'll do a little experiment. Actually, in my incognito browser, I don't have the quick view. So maybe we'll do that another time and I'll show you guys a screenshot. But either that or just anything that you can use to find a BSR is helpful when you're bumping around Amazon.
Cool. I was going to say one thing that we were using that we're not anymore because things like Merch Informer has it, Amazon, we're using Amazon more, we're just using Keyword Planner, was Amazon, or I mean, sorry, merchantwords.com. And it's like, if you search for a coupon, you can find one. So if you're really interested, you can get it for like $9 a month or something like that. Anyway, it just gives you related keywords. So you just put in like cat shirt and then it gives you, you know, a thousand, everything that's being searched on Amazon related to cats, you know? So I don't know. We don't use it anymore because auto suggest has everything. Mm-hmm. They tell you the estimated monthly search volume, but that's already being given to you in Merch Informer if you're using that now. Or Keyword Planner in Google. So I don't know. We're not really using that anymore. So
sure.
If somebody is using it, let us know why.
Seems like autocomplete is the go-to, which
which
it should be, because it's literally taking what people want to buy and putting it in the bar for you, which is cool. Last thing I have to add for this is related to keywords. I find that when I'm doing templated listings quite a bit, it can be a real pain to swap out keywords and tags, especially on Etsy. So I build some custom, I know you have this in Merch Along, this kind of functionality for the designs I haven't moved along over to that platform yet. I build a Google Sheets a spreadsheet, and then I use a concatenate function to tie different strings of text together. So for example, if you wanted to say this, you know, this dog breed is my best friend, for example, you would say that, you know, instead of dog breed, you would just leave that as a variable field. You could change, and then you would have other parts of the spreadsheet relate and append different connecting words to it, so that you can have kind of a standardized description every time, but that way you don't have to actually type it out. And then you're avoiding things like spelling mistakes, and then you know everything in your template is trademark checked as well. So, but you have that in Merch Along too, right? As a template feature.
Yeah, because we used to do the same thing you did, did. We would use that same exact function and put in, you know, we created a general sentence and then put in the text or whatever the keywords. And, you know, the problem we found is that, like, with the function itself, a lot of my team members didn't understand how to switch things or change things up, or like, they're like, what is going on with all these functions we don't understand? Or like,
it's a very janky way to do it. You're right.
Right. It works. There's no question. It does work, but it's not always the easiest to use. So that's why we put that into Merch Along. And so you can create a very generic sentence that says, you know, this blank, and wherever the blank, you can put in like t-shirt, sweater, hoodie, whatever. And then you can put in your keywords and it automatically fills into all your generic sentences or templates. So it's really easy to use and set up and transfer from product to product to product to product. So you can pump out all your content super fast.
Cool.
And it's pretty awesome. So
nice. So that's a good seg into how you keep your designs organized. Yeah. I'll speak a little bit about Google Drive. That's something that I've found my team is in the past been familiar with. That's how we started up. That's how we started managing, hosting the files, hosting the templates, and then assigning tasks and different lists of designs to do to people. And that's the way it still is for me for the most part. In all transparency, though, I am moving over to Merch Along, but obviously that's your wheelhouse. So I guess share a little bit about what does that do for people when they start getting a design portfolio that's more than 25, and how does that help?
Yeah. So like we were very similar to you in that we were using Google Drive for everything from all of our organization. We have a folder for our design, each designer. Okay. And then we have a Google Sheet for like our research, and our designers would go into the research spreadsheet and try to like, they'd go down the list, and then
I'm getting a bad flashback.
Oh my gosh. I know, I'm getting a headache, a migraine, just thinking about it. We have another sheet. Oh my gosh. Okay. So after you create the design, it went to these listing sheets, we call them listing sheets, that included the thing we were just talking about, the concatenate function, right?
Yeah.
So that we could create the content in these listing sheets. So for every product, you'd have a new like sheet or tab within each sheet. And you can only have, I can't remember if it's like 40 or 50 within each.
It's like you're trying to build like an Access database using an online cloud sheet. And I know that because I've done the same thing. And it was a huge waste of my time. I spent 5 hours literally back just straight through at a coffee shop banging out what I thought was this great database. It was so complicated. Nobody used it. It was a waste of time. And so Merch Along makes that easy for people, or how is that supposed to help?
Yeah, we take what the end result we want from the end result, and we make it as simple as possible to get there. So in Merch Along, you put your research in the research module, and then when the designer logs into his account or her account, they can just click create design based on that piece of research. It goes straight into your listings. They can upload their listing or their designs, and then they can and then the content person can fill out all the content stuff right there, and then it's ready to upload. And it's just like, it's the way I, that's the way that, that I, it's what I always wanted with my Google Drive. Like, but I, you can't really achieve it with a Google Drive. Google is like for everything, right? It's for anything and everything, but like Merch Along is dedicated specifically just for print on demand.
So yeah, you can jury rig Google Drive to work for you.
Yeah. 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 Just like you can do it with Excel and your Dropbox folder, for example, sure. You know,
yeah, just like you could code a website by hand if you wanted to.
Right.
Waste your time.
Right. Exactly. But if you have something like WordPress, then why wouldn't you, you know, set it up that way? So yeah, that's what we're trying to do, is create this. We've created this platform that makes organization, content creation super fast, super easy, and fun, to be honest with you. Like, you get to see the process of where your designs are and where they're going along the, you know, in your workflow, from research to online status. So that's what we use now. And my whole team, I have 8 people, you know, they're all working in there, and it's really great. So that's what we're using.
Nice. So let's talk about some more technical stuff on the business side of things, doing some accounting and looking at your stats. One thing that I just started using to tally up expenses and revenue to come up with a monthly profit is QuickBooks Online. I've also heard of Xero, X-E-R-O, but haven't used it myself. I don't need much for my accounting. I need a way to put in income from 5 or 6 sources and to put in expenses for what seems like 1,000 things. So yeah, it works for me. It's got simple reports. I think it's $10 a month, or maybe you get a deal for $5 a month. But for me, I'm trying to reduce my taxable burden as much as I can, compliantly, of course. So that's helping me do it. That's helping me keep track of business expenses and how much I pay my team and all that. So I'm hoping it'll pay for itself with a little bit of work.
Definitely. I mean, you have to have a place to keep everything organized when it comes to your books. And so QuickBooks just makes that easy and simple. And you can kind of just hand it over to your accountant, or you can do, do everything yourself. So I have an accountant that helps me with everything. So that's what we do. Yeah.
Cool. And then as far as stats from merch by Amazon are concerned, I like an extension called Pretty Merch. It's what you'll see if you look at our income reports. It makes things nice and simple with bar charts and graphs. It's free. There's a paid tier, but the free works just fine for me, and it kind of lays over top of your Merch by Amazon account. I can't speak to, I mean, some people might be concerned about security when you give a Chrome extension access to your account, but from everything I've seen in the reviews and the chatter about the app, from my experience and what I think, is that it's safe to use and nobody's scraping your information. So that would be the only caveat about Pretty Merch. What do you think? You use it too, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've tried different Chrome extensions that help tell you your stats and stuff from your Merch by Amazon account, but nothing is really as good as Pretty Merch. And, it keeps things simple and just right in front of you. It just works. So that's what we use as well. We don't subscribe to the new tier. They just upgraded it so that you could pay for the additional stats and stuff like that. And I don't even know what's included in that right now, but the free tier works just fine for us.
We like free.
Yeah, free's good. Yeah, especially when you're starting a business, you know, it's like you have to watch everything, every single expense that you have. And we have subscriptions, all kinds of different things that you're signed up for. Unless it's helping your bottom line, you got to be careful with that kind of stuff.
Subscriptions are the vampire of of our time. I've seen more and more businesses go to a subscription model, and they can really add up. It's anything in your personal life, to your business. I mean, to Shopify, to all these little things, you know, do you really, I think you said it best. Is it really helping drive your bottom line, or is it just distracting you, or is it wishful thinking? If it is.
Exactly. It's like, I mean, just an example of things we've just talked about. Merchant Words, you know, was a $9 a month that we don't use. So we need to just cancel that. Like, that's just like, if we are getting information from something else, like Merchant Former, that's helping us really get, you know, or maybe we need to, if we're not using Merchant Former, maybe we need to get rid of that too. But I mean, unless it's helping your bottom line, then I'd just say, like, you don't, you know, keep track of that stuff. Watch it closely.
Absolutely.
Catch up on you.
Speaking of payment and expenses, we've got a couple resources for outsourcing in both finding people and getting them paid for their work. I've personally used Upwork. I really like Upwork for finding people. I've found that it's basically a platform where you can go on there and find freelancers for anything from coding to creative work. And that's how I found my first team when I was starting up last year. And that's how I have one of my best designers who I still use through that portal now. What do you think about, you've used a couple more, right? You used Upwork and what else?
Yeah. Whenever I post a job to Upwork, I also post it to freelancer.com and also guru.com. Although I don't really necessarily prefer, I mean, I think I like Upwork first and foremost, and then Guru, and then Freelancer last. But I still get, I like doing that because then I get the most amount of people applying to the same type of thing. I can pick from a broader or more, you know, interested audience. So it's good. And that's been really good to do. I do it with every single job that I post. So
I like those sites because, you know, the question is why, what are they doing for you? Well, they're helping you find people. They're just a matchmaker for you. Yeah. You've got work and they've got people to do them, but you can also read reviews and you can see their experience level, at least on Upwork. Hey, this person has a 95% rating from their clients. And oh, by the way, they've earned over $10,000 on the platform. So, you know, they take it seriously. That is nice because I've found that without a third party that can mediate for somebody, you know, you're almost hiring without a resume, and you can put anything on a resume if you're hiring digitally. So I think those services could be important for finding people. Now, as far as ongoing payments for your team, you have to be aware that those services are going to take a cut. They're going to take a cut for payment processing, and then they're going to take a finder's fee pretty much every time you pay them. And as long as you communicate with them on the platform. So, I do still use Upwork a little bit, but I've also found people off of Upwork and I would never take them on the platform because they just add cost for no reason.
Same here. And that takes us into our next platform. I guess you could say that's good to find designers, right? And that's Behance.net.
Yeah. Behance. Another Blake tip from episode 2. I think it is. Let me just check. Yeah.
So we don't tell everybody the wrong one. Yeah. Okay. It's Behance.net. Yeah.
Cool. I guess Adobe wasn't able to get .com. That's funny. So Behance is part of the Adobe Creative Cloud Network, and it's a really nice portfolio sharing site for folks. Have you found folks on there, Shannon?
Yeah. I think two of my designers right now I found on Behance, and, it's, you know, it requires more work than going through Upwork or Freelancer or guru.com, but because it's not like you can post the job to Behance, but like what we do is you can reach out to a lot of these people. You can look at their artwork and then you can like reach out to those people by clicking on their profile and sort of tracking them down. You can communicate through them or with them through Behance, but sometimes they don't put their, I don't know, contact information, but most of the time I've had great results. I mean, like I said, I have two people from there. How many, do you have anyone from Behance?
Yeah, actually the two people I hired last week are from Behance.
Oh, nice.
You can search their portfolio by t-shirt. You can punch in, hey, I want to find people, who are in the graphic design or illustration field. You can search by how popular their work is. And you can even search by country based on where you'd want to hire from. And the work is really, really great. I think Personally, 2 weeks ago, I sent out, I found about 30 portfolios I liked. I sent out 30 messages on Gmail where I could find their address and on Behance. Interviewed, got responses from about 10, interviewed 5, kept 2. And
right.
I'm really, really happy with both of the hires. And they're responsive. They're on Slack now. I pay them through PayPal for their smaller jobs that they want to get paid quicker on. And I don't have to pay any cut to Upwork or Freelancer Guru. So I would highly recommend that method for people looking to hire.
Yeah. And as an alternative to PayPal, I use Xoom.com a lot, which is XOOM.com, which is now owned by PayPal, but it's foreign. It's like quickly send money overseas for a very low price. So instead of it costing, you know, a couple percent or whatever it is from through mm-hmm. PayPal plus 30 cents per transaction, it's just like $4.99. It's like $5 to send, you know, however much up to, I think it's like $10,000. So, you know, if you're sending anything more than $100 to a developer, or I mean a designer or a developer overseas, I would definitely check out Xoom.com. It's been something I've been using for years. So it works great. So yeah.
Cool. And I will plug, there's definitely an opportunity in here. If you can find a great freelancer who will accept payment in crypto, then you can cut out some of those fees. But at the end of the day, most of my designers I work with, they want cold hard cash, and it's still not super easy to convert your coins into cash. So that's one. We'll get there. We'll get there. It just needs a little time.
Yeah, I look forward to the day when you can just send crypto and they don't trust the US dollar anymore or something.
We'll see. We'll see. It'll be an interesting fight either way. Anyway, we've got a couple drop shipping companies and channels, different tools that we use. Obviously, I talk about Etsy all the time. I'm on Shopify as well for my own store and to connect Printful with Etsy. I'm on the $29 a month plan on Shopify, which gets me a domain for my personal store and the subscription. I think the $9 a month is part of the domain. And then you're on a couple different ones as well, right?
Yeah. And just to mention about the Shopify thing, like, cause I also have a Shopify store. It's the $29 a month plan. But you know, you can create a free WordPress website and integrate plugins, to like sell products on your WordPress website. The reason that you might not want to go that route when at least looking at integrating into different places like Etsy and Seller Central is because Shopify provides a bunch of different apps that automatically integrate and make things seamless and just really easy for you to use. So we use Seller Central, of course, through Amazon and fulfilled by merchant. So we use that, and then we use, of course, Etsy, and then we have eBay, and then we also have a house app that helps promote our products, and we have a couple of others that don't bring in very much sales, but they're there. So yeah, we like Shopify just because of those really easy integrations. And
yeah, there's something to be said for the biggest. Shopify is definitely, I would say, the biggest e-commerce platform that right. I mean, there's definitely other big ones out there. Like WooCommerce is big and integrating with WordPress, but there is something to be said for the ecosystem of apps and integration and support. And when you're in that moment, when you have to type something into Google, how do I do X? You're more likely to find it if it's on a platform that has a lot of users. So you might pay a little bit of a premium for them because of their market position. But at the end of the day, when you're trying to branch out to a bunch of different places, I'm completely in agreement. Shopify has been good to me. And you know, once you grow your store, I'm still waiting, not waiting, but still working on growing my personal store. Once it gets to bring in $30 a month in profit, I'll be able to sleep a little easier knowing that that's not an expense and it's more of a profit driver, but those things take time.
Right. Yeah. I think people are a little nervous about when having to set up a Shopify store, and then how do I connect that to Amazon Seller Central? How do I connect that to Etsy? How do I connect that to eBay or any of these other places? And that's a legitimate concern. I mean, that's something that you and I both had to go through when we first set up our Shopify store. Mm-hmm. What I can say is that through a little bit of effort, you can figure it out relatively quickly. And mm-hmm. I mean, you just got your Shopify store reset up recently, right? I mean,
yeah. I just switched manufacturers from T-Launch to Printful, and then
how hard was that?
The hard part is figuring out how. The easy part is doing it. So I think it was overall pretty painless. Once I figured out Printful was what I wanted to do, but you had to do a lot of research up front to figure that out. But now I've got it down to where I have a design. You've got a design in hand. Now I can get it in draft on Etsy in less than a minute. And then I can get it posted on Etsy in less than 30 seconds once I'm on that page. So takes time up front, but once you set it up right, you can get it done pretty quick. Maybe you and I should do a video on that process when we're looking to put some more guides out for folks to help.
Yeah, because you could show the Printful process. I could show the T-Launch process, and mm-hmm. people can decide for themselves what they like more. So I like that. That's good.
Yeah. Cool. Long story short, if you guys have a question about that stuff, shoot us a note, reach out to us, leave us a comment, and we'll see how we can help.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then
go ahead.
Yeah, if you guys, just for those of you curious, we're kind of wrapping up here with our last two points. Anyone curious about how we manage our content and our show? How about Shannon? You break down how we run this thing.
So WordPress is the easiest way to just set up a website and get it in front of people. So this is where we post our show, and we put information about it.
For our podcast and for our just website, if anyone is curious about how we're making content or just tools to make that super easy. Yeah, it's on WordPress. And then who runs our hosting? Is that Bluehost?
We have our domain name through Namecheap.com. Mm-hmm. We have our hosting through Bluehost.com because it just is simple, it's inexpensive, and easy to use, easy to set up with one click WordPress installs.
Mm-hmm. And then for the podcast, I host them on AWS. They give you free 5 gigs of storage, which is cool. So after we record the show, I put them up there, link to them in a plugin called Seriously Simple Podcasting. We did the site design for merchlifestyle.com with a really nice drag and drop style website builder called Divi, which we have a license for, which you used to use in our previous businesses. For the mailing list, I use MailChimp, again, free tier. You guys are probably picking up on a theme here. We use all the free tools. And then obviously with YouTube. So we record things via Hangouts on Air, and then we have it on YouTube, and then we just strip the audio from the podcast. So that's kind of the back end for anyone who's curious about how we jury-rig this thing together and keep it pretty affordable.
Yeah. And I mean, everything works together, you know, that's the nice thing. We're just connecting the dots. We're connecting the dots. Everything, it works. It's easy to set up. Divi's awesome, you know, our theme, and it's very versatile. So if we need to switch something up quickly, we can just drag and drop and everything works. So,
Cool. So let's leave folks with a kind of our last maybe non-digital tools list of for helping with focus and productivity. I struggle with this a little bit when I'm trying to sit down for a couple hours to really get some work done. I have this Chrome extension I like called BlockSight, which keeps me from checking things like crypto prices and Reddit and tech blogs and all the fun things I like to read on Medium and all that kind of stuff. So BlockSight is good for me just to fight my lizard brain, which likes to get distracted. Do you have any like apps or ways that you stay focused, whether they're digital or just
monitoring? Yeah, I did. And I can't even find it. I think I uninstalled it or I don't know where it's gone. So it told me where I was spending my time online and like with my computer in general. So like, was it a drive? Was it a business related? You know, was it, and you can assign certain things. So like, if it doesn't know it, that Shopify is, you know, you're spending a lot of time in Shopify, but it doesn't know it, you can assign and say like, this is part of my business.
Chunk of time.
Chunk of time. So like, if I was, you know, it tells you from week to week where you're spending your time, and while you're talking here, I'll quick find it. But it's really convenient. And now that you mentioned, I don't know why it's not here where it went. So
yeah, it's all good. Let's see if it logs your time trying to find it. For me, it's having a bottle of water while I work. It's playing good music to get in the zone. I like electronic stuff, so I throw SoundCloud or Spotify on. And one thing to wrap for me is, and I do this full time, getting out of the house at lunch to go work out, getting out to go run the dog, getting out to reset and go interact with people. So you're not just spending all your time, it's just you and the internet all day, regardless of if you're working hard or not. It's really important to have things that get you out, get you moving, and get you just thinking in a different way. Otherwise days can slip by and it's no fun to just grind away at a screen all day without having any kind of fresh air.
Yeah, or just like social interaction. I mean, I spend a lot of time talking to my team and that's good, but I also realize I need to just be around people that aren't talking business all the time.
Yeah.
And that's super important for my own sanity. You know, it's just like, it's just really important to be able to socialize and, you know, not have to think about how am I going to make another sale or whatever it is. So, that, and then Insight is an app on my phone. I don't know if it's for Android as well, but it's for iOS at least. And it's just a meditation app, and it has a free part like that has, they have thousands of different meditations for whether you're going to sleep at night or you have just five, if you have 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you can put that in and it finds the perfect app or the perfect meditation for you and to just like focus yourself or calm yourself or whatever it is. It helps with all those things. So it's really cool. It's called Insight, and I use that on every other day, I'd say. So that's been pretty cool too. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Well, I think that wraps it. I don't know how many tools we had there, maybe 25, 30 or more, but we hope that helps you guys. If you have any questions about how you can pull together, hopefully we gave you some really good free tools that you can use, some things that you might not have heard about before. There'll be links in the show notes to as many of these as I can find for both YouTube and the podcast. I'll put in a quick plug here for our first income reports. If you guys are curious about how Shannon and I are doing as far as doing what we say we're doing and the breakdown between how much we're making and how much we're spending, we throw that all together every month and we release a monthly income report and we just put that up on Patreon. So if you're interested in checking it out, we'll drop a link down there and you can go see how we're doing and see if you want to support the show.
Yeah, it's a great way to support the show and just to keep not only see what we're doing in terms of numbers on Merch by Amazon, Seller Central, Etsy, eBay, all these different channels, but also on we provide tips and different things that we find that are working really well for us in greater detail in the Patreon newsfeed. So you can take a look at that and check it out. Subscribe if you'd like. And, you know, that helps the business keep, you know, helps us with the podcast and helps us keep doing shows for you guys. So,
yeah, well, we appreciate you guys. Thanks for coming out to, well, I appreciate you, Shannon. It's nice to talk to you every week and do this. But to all our listeners, you know, thanks, guys. Episode 10, we're going to keep rocking with one every week, try to get some more interviews lined up and keep providing some good tips for you. So until next time, we're going to sign off and we'll catch you later. Thanks, Shannon.
All right. See you, Spencer.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Merch Lifestyle Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us an honest review wherever you find your content. As always, you can find us online at merchlifestyle.com.